just two girls talking about one sport?
One sport?
Soccer?
Football.
Ah.
Welcome back to the Masterclass Podcast. Today we're going to be discussing a few things. We're obviously going to look over the FA Cup semifinal, as well as we're going to touch on women's football a bit. But today, with all of the kit leaks happening, we decided that we would really like to discuss kits, how we can change them up in the future, designs, ideas, as well as how they impact the women's side of the game. And we've got a super special guest. We've got Louisa joining us all the way from Nigeria. Louisa, how are you today? And tell us a bit about yourself.
Oh, I'm fine, Hannah. So my name's Louisa and I'm from Nigeria. And I'm a big supporter of the women's football. It's like 80% of my life right now. And I'm here for whatever is going to happen in the future of women's football. Yeah. And I'm a football writer, so that's also something I like doing in my free time. And a student also, funny enough.
We're all super busy. And you did tell us about, I was on a podcast with you previously, and you told us about how you do writing for women's football. When you went into your writing position, you went in there not wanting to write about men's, and you're like, no, I'm writing about women's. And I think that's awesome. Yeah.
I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah. I've been a supporter of like the Chelsea football club since like I've been a child. In my family, it's a big part of who we are. Like, you can change your religion in my family, basically, but none of us have ever changed the club we supported. My uncle was like president of the supporters club back in Nigeria.
Oh, wow. And
so it's a huge part of who I am, but I have actually never knew that we had a women football team till about early last year, which is crazy because like our women's side are very good. So, and it's not getting the visibility it deserves.
Yeah, I agree with that. And your team is incredible. Like the Chelsea team this season has been crazy. I know that at the beginning of the season, because you guys are doing very well in the women's Champions League right now. I personally did not expect you to go as far as you are in the tournament right now, and you're one of the favorites. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that as well.
So right now, I feel like even this matter of who is the favorite for the Champions League has even caused a bit of a rift on Twitter right now about because PSG knocked out Lyon yesterday, which was like a huge momentum in the women's football. And the four teams that are currently in the left in the Champions League they've never won the Champions League before. So for the first time in about 10 years, we're going to see a new winner, a new set of finalists, which is great. And everyone wants their club to win. I want Chelsea to win, but I'm not going to outrightly come out and say we're the favorites to win because everybody has the opportunity to win it right now. So like MIAs would say, we're taking it one game at a time for now.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
And then on the men's side, you've got Chelsea in the FA Cup final, and they'll be facing Leicester City. And that's huge. I won't poke at you about that. But going into that, I'm pretty excited. I'm sure you are as well. But one thing I wanted to mention is that you're from Nigeria. And for Leicester City, Kelechi Iheanacho, who is from Nigeria, has been outstanding for us and has practically like saved us in the second half of the season. So like, and we've also got Ndidi, who's from Nigeria. What is it like for you being from Nigeria, seeing these players succeed so much? Because I know for us, whenever we see how well Alphonso Davies is doing at Bayern, being Canadian, it's like, yeah, that's so great. So how is that for you, seeing players like that just doing so well and representing your country?
That's the funny thing. Like, we're happy the players are making a name for themselves. But at the same time, Leicester is not like a well-known club in Nigeria yet. Clubs that are supported are the clubs that have been like dominating the scene so far, because those are the clubs that were able to get access to their matches like right from the beginning of the whole football revolution on TV. So we obviously, as Chelsea fans, were glad that it's getting what it deserves, and even the other clubs like Man U and Arsenal fans that are from Nigeria, they're like, okay, they want Leicester to win so that Ndidi and Ian Achor will be the first Nigerians to win the FA Cup. And we're like, calm down. We obviously want something patriotic, but at the same time, we want Chelsea. We have a whole lot of Chelsea fans in Nigeria and we want Chelsea to win it. So good for them. At least they can say they are the first Nigerians to be in the final. So that's as much as I hope they would say for this season. Maybe they can win it next.
And how are you feeling going into that final?
Honestly, like the way the season started for Chelsea men, I've actually detached myself emotionally from whatever results. Because there's like up and down movements for them. Mm-hmm. Unlike the women's team where, you know, Chelsea women losing a match is like an anomaly and something you can like actually just say, okay, this is off day in the office. But on the men's side, it's just a whole chaotic mess right now. And I'm glad they're in the final at least. And this is like a new coach, so they have lots to learn from it and they can go further with whatever the season brings. But I feel like it's going to be a good match because Leicester is like being crazy good right now.
Yeah, I hope it'll be a good match. I'm scared.
I think it'll be a good match. Like you said, your new manager, he's doing a really good job so far. Like, I think he's only lost, you know, one game so far. It'll be interesting to see how you guys do in the Champions League as well, assuming that you're still going to be in it. I'm not sure with everything going on what the whole situation is, but I would be curious to see how you do against Real Madrid. So so kind of moving on from that, we can talk about kits. Do you want to take that?
Yeah, obviously we're seeing like kits being leaked. Footy Headlines has just been leaking kits left, right, and center. I know Leicester's kits have been leaked. I think Chelsea's home kit has been leaked. Liverpool's kits have been leaked. And out of all of the kits, like even Spurs has been leaked, I think Chelsea and Arsenal probably only have like the nicest kits.
Yeah.
Most are incredibly bland. So, and like Louisa, like going back to Nigeria in 2018, Nigeria probably made like the best kit of all time.
Yeah, that was actually, we were actually proud of that kit. And this with the kit sold out here in Nigeria because like for the first time, we're not just, because our flag is green, white, green. And usually you just see us on plain white or plain green. And we had like, we didn't achieve much from the World Cup, but that kit alone made waves around the World Cup. And we loved that.
Yeah. I know people here in Canada, people in the States, people over in the UK that all have the Nigeria kit because of how nice it is. Even for me, I'm like, that's a nice kit. Yeah. If I see a kit and I like it, I'll go out and grab it. And that's just probably one of the nicest kits of all time. And that brings up the question, like, why don't we see designs and patterns like that often? And like, what, Louisa, for you, what would you like to see done on kits? Are you more of like, you like plain, you like keeping it simple, or do you like those kind of designs and patterns on kits?
Honestly, the best kit Chelsea has right now, it's our third kit, the light blue. I think that's the best kit we have. Mm-hmm. for a really long time. That's the best kit we've had. And even right now, the kit that has been leaked that is tied to Chelsea's name right now, a lot of fans are having huge problem with that kit because it looks like a checkers pattern that it's not an irregular checkers pattern, which is, we're not buying that's going to be our kit for next season because it's something else. But at the same time, they have the fans that will end up buying it. So usually when they make bad kits, they are not sorry for it because they still sell out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm a Liverpool fan. We have our third kit this season is that checkered pattern and I do not like it and I refuse to buy it. But that being said, over previous years when I don't like a kit, I still end up buying it. So I'm definitely in that kind of area of still buying kits like that. So
yeah, definitely. I'm personally the type where it's like, I love unique kits. I love seeing kits go in a different direction. I don't like the templates. I don't like seeing just like the same old stripes and stuff. Like obviously with Nigeria's kit, that was amazing. But you look at Australia's 2019 Women's World Cup kit, that was a nice kit. That was one of my favorite kits. I know it's not the most popular, but that was a kit that I loved. And even England's men's team this year with their blue away kit, they're kind of stepping out a bit too. So I would love to see more like art incorporated into it in a way.
Yeah, I agree. Like with Liverpool's kits, just speaking in that direction, their away kit this season, the blue one, I think it's really interesting and quite artistic. So I like that it has some uniqueness to it. It's not just, like you said, a plain template.
Mm-hmm. And I know Chelsea had a kit, was it last season where they had like the map of London on it? Or no, it was, is it Stamford Bridge? They had Stamford Bridge on the kit. Like that's cool.
But speaking about kits, because now at the end of the day, they use it to play football, which it's nice. But when we want something as fans, it's something we wear, like maybe while watching a match or just wear out for JC Day with friends and all. But what about the NWSL space themed kits?
Those are pretty nice. Yeah, like that was another thing we wanted to bring up, like football and fashion. Like you want to wear a kit and people want to be able to like style it now and like incorporate it into fashion. Like you said, like we're not the professionals out playing on the pitch, but we still want to look good wearing this kit with like a pair of pants on the street.
Exactly.
And the NWSL, yeah, like they have great kits so far. They're kind of stepping out. I know like the Orlando and Houston with their space kits, like those are cool. That's stuff that you can incorporate into like an everyday outfit.
Yeah.
But if you're to wear like a Spurs kit, it's almost just like a plain white shirt.
Well, even Spurs on it. Yeah. Well, even thinking in terms of like England's new kits that they came out with, like those aren't really necessarily something I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna wear this on a nice night out with a pair of jeans. Kind of going off that, Arsenal's doing something pretty interesting with their fashion stuff, right? So I feel like that would be interesting if clubs went in that direction as well. Mm-hmm. I know Liverpool has that Nike Air thing, but that's still like workout stuff, right?
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting if they went in that fashion direction. Like I know Leicester has.
We have no fashion whatsoever.
I thought you had like a fashion thing.
Oh, but there's like a fancy clothing line kind of called Fox and Crop, but every time I look at it, it looks more like old people clothes. So it's not stuff that I would wear. But yeah, it'd definitely be great to see that. And you mentioned Arsenal. Like, Louisa, I want to know your thoughts on this as well. Like, Arsenal have released their retro range and they've had their women's team so involved with like showing off these outfits, and like they include their women's team in their promotion for everything. And that's just the direction that we want to see things go in. Hey.
Yeah, same with Manchester City also. I think both clubs, Manchester City and Arsenal, are really towing the line of equality, because they promote all their teams together in the same account, like as one club. Even when Manchester City was doing their anniversary, in the video where they were calculating the number of trophies they've won, they actually added all the Manchester City women's trophies to the promotion video, which was actually pretty cool. And obviously we saw people who were like subtracted, and we know how those people have fared over the years.
Yeah, exactly. And I talked with Amy, who is one of the founders of This Fangirl. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, but they're a supporters group made of women, like for female fans, just to be able to get together and stuff. And we talked kits a lot in fashion, and they partnered up with Manchester City, and the club asked them like, "Hey, who are some like women that can show off our third kit?" And so they sent over some of their group members. They have like moms modeling the kit, they had fans, like they had all sorts of women just showing off this third kit. And that was just really good to see. And it's really cool seeing a club like Manchester City, like you were saying, incorporate like women into this type of stuff as well. Like, and their kits are great. Like this season, I probably liked all three of their kits. Man City are doing what every club needs to be doing. I know Arsenal are doing a great job as well, but Man City, like you said, treats it as one club. And that's just so great.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really interesting, especially just looking at everything going on right now. You'd think that more of the bigger clubs would want to incorporate their women's side, especially the clubs whose women's sides are quite successful at the moment, like the Chelsea's, like the Man United's, like whatever, right? So yeah, that's definitely something I want to see in the future for sure.
And then kind of going on about the women's side of things with Kit, Louisa, I wanted to ask you, and I'll ask Bronwyn as well. A thing that's been brought up to me a lot recently is, should we start seeing women's teams get their own kits, like their own kit designs? We saw it with Australia in the 2019 World Cup. They had a completely different separate kit from the men's team. So is that something that you would like to see, like with national teams, leagues, or like just keep it all the same?
I feel like with national team, it's really not that huge of a deal, because at the end of the day, it's still the same country. They're all citizens of that country. There's no rebutting that, because it says so on their international passport. But when you go down to the club level, these kits are like identity for the clubs, and it's going to feel, it's already delineating their women and men's team, and it's going to feel a little bit weird when you try to give those two, the men and the women, separate identities. But at the same time, maybe it's going to be a good thing, but I don't really see that working out, because I'm not a fan of having your men and women's club team of the same club having different identity. And I see a kit as a team's identity, like the same way over the years, no matter how much the design change, there's still like a basic element of what is always going to be in all the kits. For Chelsea, it's blue. For Arsenal, red. For Man U, red. Man City, light blue. So it's something we've come to know as an identity. And except maybe they are going to, it's going to be similar color schemes for the kits over the seasons, but maybe like different variations, like just design wise. But at the end of the day, it's still going to feel separate, because now there's going to be separate sales, and now they are going to justify not giving women the same amount of money, because the sales obviously going to be different, and we're going to see those differences when it comes to checking and balancing the money that is coming in of the club and coming into the club and going out of the club.
Yeah, I agree with you, Louisa, on that, that I don't think that they should kind of stray away from the traditional kind of color and kind of the traditional just kits in general. Like, I feel like it's exactly that, an identity for the club. Because I know, like, watching the Liverpool women's team, it's good to see that they have the same sponsor as the men's team. Because recently, in the past couple of years, they have different ones. And we see that with a couple clubs as well, that they have different sponsors. So it's kind of cool to see that they're wearing the same kits and being sponsored by the same people, because that means they're getting backing from everywhere in the club at that point. Not necessarily the best backing in some situations, but still that kind of similar backing.
Yeah, and it's the same, like, thinking about the whole idea of we're one club, just supporting one club. And it's funny, because you see so many people who are so against supporting the women's side of things, and it's like, we're just asking you to support the same club.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you as a Man City fan to go support Man United women. Like, it's Man City women, it's Man City men, it's the same club. So it's that whole same identity idea, and then having separate kits would probably, like you and Louisa both said, just kind of feed that whole, well, we need to treat it separately. Like, no, it's all the same identity. It's all the same thing. They're all playing for the same club. We're all supporting, like, well, obviously not all supporting the same club, but as fans of the club, we're all supporting the men and women's side. It's just the club. So yeah, I have to agree with both of you guys definitely there. And with the whole national team thing as well, it's, yeah, it's like you're playing for the same country. You're playing for the same purpose. Like, it's, you want to go out there and you want to represent your country. You don't necessarily, you're not exactly going out there to solely represent your gender.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're trying to break those barriers. So you guys both brought up some really good points. Louisa, you brought up some great points there. You mentioned some stuff that I didn't even like think about. And now I'm like, oh, that's like a good point. So then thinking about women's kits even further, I've noticed that going onto Chelsea's website and to their store, one of the first things that comes up is the ability to buy a Fran Kirby kit. And I know with Man City, you can buy the women's players on there. Arsenal, you can buy women's players. Man United, Press and Heath had like record sales for United kits.
Yeah.
And then you look at clubs like Leicester, we've just gone and won the FA Women's Championship, and you cannot buy a women's kit on our website.
Yeah, it's the same with Liverpool as well. I know we haven't won the championship, but we were still in the WSL for a long time, had won the WSL, but you could never find kind of women's kits to buy on there. And even like Spurs, for example, the only women's kit you could buy is Alex Morgan's.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So for you, Louisa, as someone who supports a club where you do have that option to represent players on your women's side, and to be able to purchase a kit specifically with the women's player's name on it, what do you think that means for the progression of women's football?
Oh, this is actually like, when you factor in where I'm from, it's actually like an interesting thing, because in Nigeria, we don't necessarily buy our kits with players' names at the back. We buy them, then we put our name on our favorite number. So, very few people actually buy kits with players' name on it. Those who buy them are like trying to get it autographed and just have them in their living room.
Right.
So it's just the kit for us, and which is a nice thing, because at the end of the day, we view it as one club. It's just the kit for us, and then the players, what the players are having as their training kits, those ones also we get them in Nigeria, but we mostly get our kits with blank. Our kits are usually blank at the back. So player identity is not really something we strive for here, and that's the reason why I think the women's kit should not like be separate from the men's kit, because if that's going to happen, then we're obviously going to have a huge problem when it comes to the difference in sales between what the women's kit is generating and what the men's kit is generating.
That's really interesting, because I guess it's so different everywhere.
Yeah.
Because you see people in like the UK just buying kits, like so many with their favorite players. And for me personally, I only have like a handful of kits with certain players that I really enjoy watching. But for me, it's like with Louisa saying, like in Nigeria, it's like an identity, and it's like you don't really buy a kit with a name on it. But for me, it's like I'm super picky about who gets to go on the back of my kit. Like if I'm getting a player, like I have to process it, and I have to really think about who I am wanting to get on the back of it. And it's also like I can't afford it either.
Yeah. So I'm kind of on both sides of it, where I've had the blank kit, I've had the kit with my name on it and my favorite number, and I've also had my favorite player on the back of my kit.
Mm-hmm.
But that could also be because I used to play soccer and I just really wanted my name on the back of my favorite team's kit.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting hearing that like different point of view from everyone. I think that it's interesting that it's become such a big part of our identities, and not necessarily a specific player.
Yeah, and something else right now when it comes to the women's team, I'm actually thinking about like getting a specific kit for specific players. But the thing is, I actually love all the players of my team so much, and it's becoming a problem. And thinking about the money fact, I can actually buy all the kit for all the players. I'm not going to be able to afford that. But when I was a kid, we used to have this Chelsea rallies around like our city before a big game, and the dress code is obviously a Chelsea kit, and so then I had Drogba at the back of my kit, and Drogba is my favorite player, so that was a nice thing. But that was the only reason why my kit had something at the back of it, was because it was actually last minute, and it was I was 10 years old then, so it was a kid size kit, and they couldn't get a clear version. They couldn't get a clear version for me then. If not, it's really not that common. It's usually you have your nickname, not even your real, not your like actual name. You have your nickname at the back of your jersey, and your favorite number or your lucky number.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I had that similarly as well. I support Glasgow Rangers as well, and I got my nickname on the back with my favorite number, and I just remember playing in it, which is a crazy memory for me, and it just means a lot more to me having my name on the back of it instead of a player necessarily. I also love that you are struggling to pick a name for a Chelsea kit because you love all the players so much. I know Hannah's kind of having a similar dilemma with the Leicester City women's team, so I love that.
Yeah, there's not enough kits to put names on either. There's only like the three home away and alternate and then the goalkeeper kit. And then what are you going to do? There's 22 players. I don't know what to do. But yeah, and it's really interesting hearing about your experience, like hearing about the amount of community there is for like Chelsea, where you're from. Because for me personally, being a Leicester fan and the part of Canada that I'm in, I have never met another Leicester fan. So it's just really cool hearing that there's that community over there, and that's just awesome.
I've actually never physically met a Leicester fan either.
We're slowly growing, I guess.
Yeah, meanwhile, I've been harassed for being a Liverpool fan on the street, so.
Have you had any experience, you personally, with like Liverpool supporters within like the city?
Not within Canada, no. I was lucky enough to travel for a Europa League final, and I had that kind of sense of community being around all those Liverpool fans, but obviously they had all traveled there to do the same.
Yeah.
But I've never had an experience kind of being around a bunch of Liverpool fans or just meeting one kind of thing. So yeah, I can't imagine. I'm assuming that would have been an amazing experience just from my experience going to games and everything.
And Louisa, have you had the opportunity to watch Chelsea, either men or women, play in person?
Oh, never. But hopefully that is going to happen pretty soon. So I'm actually picking my next degree based on the football league in that country.
Nice. Oh, awesome. Well, good for you. We'll have to like all plan a trip together as soon as COVID clears up. Yeah. And just all go on like an England tour and go around to all the stadiums and just watch every possible game.
Yeah, let's just go for the FA Cup.
I'm actually planning to do that for the Euros 2020. Hopefully everything goes according to plan.
Yeah, hopefully. And if you do make it out there, you'll have to keep us updated, and we'll definitely have to get you back on the show because that'd be awesome to hear about.
Yeah, a reporter on the ground. Love that.
And as a international fan, since we're all international fans, like obviously with COVID and everything, and we kind of discussed a bit beforehand how everything is very much online now, how have you been finding things like as a fan trying to engage with like a team that's based out of the UK?
I feel like right now, because everything has actually gone like online, it's actually been more great to be a supporter of this other foreign leagues, because now I'm part of like women supporters group for Chelsea, because supporting the women's football is not really a thing where I'm from. It's just like slowly where we're trying. We're trying to make it one club, but at the end of the day, what we discuss mostly on the in Nigeria here is about the men's team. But slowly, with how Care, Ada, and Kirby are on form right now, the more of the men's part of the supporters are coming to the women's game. But I actually found a community supporting Chelsea women online, which might not have necessarily been possible if they hadn't gone online, if they were still being in the stadium supporting them physically. They wouldn't have really necessarily thought about trying to engage the other supporters that are international, like on the online platforms.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, because for me personally, like I've started up a podcast for the Leicester City women's team, and I think had COVID not happened, that probably would have never happened. I would have not been given the same opportunities that I've been given now. And like you said, like this whole online stuff has allowed us to connect with one another online. Like for you, found the Chelsea women's supporters, and it was cool kind of how you mentioned with the amount of success, like you're seeing fans of the men's side kind of veer to the women's side as well, hearing about how successful they are and stuff. And we saw that with Leicester. We saw them with how well they were doing all season. You'd see more fans just kind of joining in from the men's side. And now that we're league champions, it's like there's so many men involved. They're like, whoa, this is awesome. And so it's just been really cool seeing how things have progressed online compared to, like, I don't even know what it could have been pre-COVID. Like, I don't even remember at this point.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I would have been curious to see how different that BBC deal would have been if it was pre-COVID kind of thing. Like, I wonder how many fans would be at games as well. Like, it's just a really interesting topic to kind of discuss and how it would have affected things if it weren't for COVID. Because obviously COVID kind of had somewhat of a negative impact on the women's game, but I do think there are some positives as well with it.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the positive impact COVID actually had on the women's game outweighs the negative impacts, funny enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely, especially with, like she mentioned, the whole BBC and Sky Sports TV deal. I know that Louisa and I got to discuss it on another podcast, and that's huge for women's football. And I think COVID really showed, like, you're stuck at home, watch football, watch the women's game. And I think that this TV deal has really kind of shown that. Like, people are willing to watch the women's game, people are happy to. And I just think that it's going to get bigger and bigger and continue. And as much as COVID has given us some pros, hopefully we can get out of it soon because I want to go see some games. I know Louisa wants to get to those Euros. You want to get back to Anfield.
Yeah, I miss Anfield a lot. I don't know how I'm going to feel about it lately, but we'll see. We'll see, hopefully.
Yeah, it's been so awesome seeing everything just moving forward. And it's been awesome talking with you, Louisa, as well. Like, this online stuff has given us the opportunity to connect with people from all over the world. So it's just so awesome to hear from someone like you.
Yeah, it's actually, even Anna was like, Anna, get me on your show. Anna was like, okay.
I'm so happy you came on. Well, you're awesome on the other podcast. So, and I hope to hear you on more because I see you on Twitter all the time talking about stuff. I'm like, she's smart. Like, yeah, she knows her stuff. Get her on podcast.
Yeah, I listened to your podcast that you both did, and it's great. You both brought up some really, really great points about the whole deal and everything. So I'm really glad that we were able to get you on.
I'm glad to be. I actually have two exams tomorrow, but I'm like, women's football, count me in.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we like to hear.
And if our women's side end up facing each other in the FA Cup, I'll definitely be reaching out to you to come on to the Leicester City Women's Show, and we'll get to talk there. And I guess we'll see you guys in the league next season too. So you'll definitely be hopping on to the Leicester Show.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that.
Rowan, do you have any closing stuff, or do you?
No, not at all. Louisa, if you want to shout out any of your social media, go for it.
So you can follow me on all my social medias at soul_daro. That's SOL_DARO. So on every social media platform.
Cool. Thank you so much, Louisa, for coming on. It's been really awesome talking to you. You gave us some really good perspectives. It was fun talking kits. I know the world of football is incredibly stressful and a mess right now, so it was cool to just kind of talk fashion and stuff like that for a bit.
Yeah.
Louisa, if you're ever wanting to hop back on, do not hesitate to reach out to us. We've had so much fun talking to you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You can follow the Masterclass podcast on all of their social medias at MasterclassPO. I suck at updating stuff, but I will try to be better with the social media account. But for now, you can follow them there. Maybe one day you'll see us post something. But until then, we'll probably see you guys in the next episode.